one and all to the second podcast. Yeah, here we are on podcast number two. And as mentioned in my initial launch, what I want to do is with this podcast is bring on all sorts of people who will help us be better in terms of better runners, better people, better all sorts to get the best that we can be. So what better way than to kick things off with a guest to add on my YouTube channel. And she was totally brilliant and talking about a topic very close to my heart, which is essential for every runner. And that is breathing. We need to breathe properly. If we can breathe properly, then that helps us in whatever distances we run. I know it sounds obvious, but my guest on this particular show is Rebecca Coles, who is a former competitive breath halt swimmer and brings her experience of breath training to endurance sports. And the way that she does this is that she encourages nose breathing during physical exercise for greater efficiency and oxygen. Yep, that's right. Getting more oxygen by breathing less. So if you've tried this, you'll know it can feel a bit uncomfortable. And this is where the training that Rebecca did as a 5x UK record holder comes into play. That's right, she has 5 UK records. And through her breathing and by training your tolerance to carbon dioxide, you avoid getting out of breath. And those suffering from exercise-induced asthma will find nose breathing helps to reduce symptoms also. Rebecca is an oxygen advantage instructor taught by Patrick McEwen and is also a yoga teacher. And I'll leave some links in the description of this podcast, but just to let you know that you can test your breathless and try some restorative techniques for free on her website, which is sportsrestoreyoga.co.uk. And if you do have any questions or queries or examples of you using the breathing technique Rebecca talks about, then please do get back in touch with myself through the social meds, whether it be on Run Guru Run on the Twitter or Instagram, or you can email me at myrunguru@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And if you are really nice, we can maybe get Rebecca back onto another show and talk more about some of the specific questions that you do have. So without further ado, I'll leave you now to the recording that I done with the interview with the wonderful Rebecca, and talking about the breathing techniques that she helps train people for. So enjoy. Thank you. Hello, Rebecca. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hiya there. I'm good, thank you. Really good. And you?
I'm absolutely super. I'm absolutely stoked that you're on the show here today, because when you reached out, as soon as I read your profile, you hit a very strong chord with me, because it's all about breathing. So today's chat, talk, video is all about breathing, and Rebecca's going to be going through that because she's quite an expert at this. But before we go into the breathing, you may not know who Rebecca Coles is and what she does and where she's from, but she was an ex-elite athlete and also holder of many, many British records without the assistance of any fancy dress outfits or anything like that. So a proper serious athlete. So Rebecca, tell us all a little bit about yourself, your background, sporting background, and what you do.
Yeah, so unfortunately, that elite athlete wasn't in running, much as I'd love to, because I've been a runner all of my life. Was really into sprinting when I was younger, and I seem to be getting the distance is getting further as I'm getting older. But I was actually an athlete in free diving, which is breath hold swimming. Now, some people know that as going down, which I did do for fun, but actually my competition was in the pool. So it's much easier to be able to train in the UK in the pool. So I would swim underwater distance on one breath. So I guess that kind of makes me an expert on breathing, or is it not breathing?
But you know, breath and run a whole marathon. No.
Yeah. But what's interesting is there's some really unique training that I did in this free diving journey that I had. So it was for about 8 years that I was training and competing as a free diver. And the training that we do in freediving is really, really relevant to other sports, particularly endurance sports, because It's all about efficiency. Yeah. So trying to be as efficient in your moving as possible and in your thinking, because your brain uses a lot of oxygen, because you've only got one breath. So to get the distance that you want, you need to be as efficient as possible. So that you know, I can, there's probably a separate conversation about that.
We could do a follow-up on this. Already.
The next one is obviously the breathing.
Part two.
And what I can share is some training, which is really, really helpful for endurance athletes to overcome breathlessness. So that's primarily what we're going to talk about today. And the other one was about mindset, because when you hold your breath and the feeling that you get when your body is really starting to shout at you that it wants you to breathe is kind of taking you to what could be quite a dark place. It's a sort of primeval fear of not being able to breathe. Mm-hmm. And challenging the thoughts and the mindset around that is really useful stuff. It's kind of mental toughness training that those of you who are running, you know, long distances or even short distances, but very intense, you know, we all struggle with mindset. So those are kind of the three things that I'm now bringing from freediving into endurance sport and in particular into running.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's absolutely brilliant. For me, I mean, I did publish a video many moons ago, and you were very polite in terms of saying what my technique, and I gave it in sort of a layman's term, because for me, being new to running, obviously being an old geezer, I've brought a lot of things that I've learned through professional life and so on into that. And the breathing and technique for me, certainly for endurance running, is almost essential. And having taken up swimming, obviously swimming, if you don't breathe correctly, then you drown. But yeah, so that's essential, but it certainly transposes to other sports. And and it's so good because you do yoga teaching as well, and you're quite an avid, you say you love your trail running. But in terms of the breathing, because there's a number of areas we're going to go into, is the breathing, talking about recovery as well and how breathing can help recovery, and also some myth busting, because there's a lot of BS out there, and it's great to meet an expert like yourself, Rebecca, who can clear some of those myths as well. So if we kick off with the first bit about the breathing and what you recommend in terms of, obviously we're talking for runners here, but it can transpose to all different sports as well. So yeah, the breathing, tell us how we should be breathing, you know, because I've read so many things out there, and some of it contradicts, but for me, it's almost like I get into almost a meditative state when I'm running a marathon, and without even realizing that I'm breathing in a certain way, and because I've trained and worked that way. So you can share with us how everybody should be breathing. Go for it.
Well, I'm going to come straight out and put my stake in the ground and say that all recreational athletes should be nose breathing 24/7, and that includes during exercise.
Wow.
And
wow.
We can explain and look at a little bit and discuss that.
I
and
that do, kind of I do fits do nose into breathing the myth myself, so
busting.
Go for it.
Brilliant. That is fantastic to hear. So obviously, with competitive athletes, there tends to be a little bit of a mix, because it is beneficial to be nose breathing when you're doing your easy runs, which for a lot of people is, you know, maybe 80% of your training is doing quite easy runs. So there's no reason why you can't nose breathe on those runs. When you get to your event, then nose breathing is going to help you feel more relaxed. But at the end of the day, if you need to mouth breathe to just help you get that performance that you want, then short periods of mouth breathing can, you know, is okay. But essentially, what I'm going to talk about today is to bust the myths around nose breathing, because most people, most Western runners run with their mouth open. You know, you only have to look at the local park run and see that, you know, 99% of people are going to be running around with their mouth open, not realizing that it's actually causing a problem. Yeah. Now, for some people, that problem may not arise for many years, but essentially, if you're running around the park breathing in cold air, then little by little, the airways are getting irritated by that and slightly injured. And if you're doing a lot of long distance running, lots of heavy mileage every week, eventually your lung structure and function is starting to deteriorate because of that.
Wow.
Because we're not designed to breathe through the mouth for long periods. If you think about sort of going back to evolution.
So it's fine for a short sprint type thing.
Yes.
For a short period of time. But if you're doing it, especially say for 5Ks, half marathons, marathons, is to have a constant steady breathing through the nose.
And you know, if you look at Eliud Kipchoge's marathon.
Kipchoge,
his sub 2 hour marathon. If you know, I've seen so many podcasts and summaries of his running technique and his gait analysis and lots of experts out there, but very few people have mentioned his breathing.
But
you know why? Because you didn't notice it.
No, it's effortless. It's like poetry in motion.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve subtlety in our breath and effortlessness, essentially. Mm. And nose breathing is going to allow you to do that. Now, I know the big issue with this is that when you first start trying to nose breathe beyond that point that it feels comfortable, then it is difficult. So there is a switching point for most people, which is normally around about 40 litres per minute of breath, which is an easy run, basically. There's a switching point from which most people will switch from nose breathing to mouth breathing. Is that something that you found with your nose breathing? Is there a point where you switch?
There is definitely a point. You've hit the nail on the head. I mean, we apply the 80-20 rule or 90-10% rule. So most of our training runs is super easy or easy. And that breathing through the nose, no problem. But once you get into the zone fives, and you sprint it effectively. For me, it's sprinting. I think for some people, it might be a fast run. But you're then getting into breathing through the mouth, but it is literally only for minutes. So if I'm doing a hard training session, it may be for 4, 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then you recover and then you hit it again, but certainly not doing hours and hours. I think for races, I find that as the race is progressing for a marathon, I may end up switching as the effort is going harder. But in the early stages, because it's supposed to be easy, we run an easy start, it's breathing through the nose and relaxing, you know, and it helps with the endurance, I think. So yeah, there is a point where it switches. I don't know, because having seen other people who are quite fast, like say 14, 15 minute 5Ks, they talk about breathing a certain way and doing that, so I don't know.
Sorry about the the crying baby.
When you do switch the wrong way, you end up crying. You think, oh, this is really hurting. I mean, I could do maybe a book on the different types of people when you're racing, where you've got the wheezers and the whiners and the spitters and all that. But there are people almost within the first 2 miles, 3 miles of, say, a half marathon, and they're going so hard and they're panting like, and my old me would have said, what are you doing, mate? You need to slow down because you have a cardiac. But now we're just leaving being, and then eventually they slow down and can't keep up. But you sort of wonder, why are they panting so heavily at the start?
Yeah, I can answer that for you. So the primary reason for breathing more heavily is because you're producing carbon dioxide through exercise, and your body wants to get rid of that carbon dioxide. So we are far more sensitive to carbon dioxide than we are to measuring our oxygen levels. Mm-hmm. So just touching on one of the biggest myths, really, is that most people think that they need to breathe big breaths through the mouth to get enough oxygen. Mm. And it's not correct. What happens is when you breathe big breaths in and out, what you're doing is you're getting rid of carbon dioxide, which makes it feel easier and more comfortable because your body's quite sensitive to that carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what also happens, however, is that if you're blowing off that carbon dioxide, you're getting rid of the one thing that is going to help get oxygen to your cells and your muscles. Because in an environment of low carbon dioxide in the body, the blood cells will hold on to oxygen. So essentially, when you're hyperventilating, which is what we call it when we're breathing heavily, is you're actually restricting the amount of oxygen that is getting to your muscles. And breathing with the mouth is quite inefficient. It uses a lot of the upper musculature, and not so much of the diaphragm. Now the diaphragm is the primary muscle of breathing, and it's the one muscle that doesn't really tire that easily because it needs to work day in, day out, 24/7. These muscles up here that you use when you're breathing quite fast and shallow aren't designed for long-term breathing, so they're going to tire out quite quickly. And what it's doing is it takes oxygen away from where you want it as a runner, which is in your legs, essentially. So you're going to be getting less oxygen, probably more lactic burn in your legs because your legs aren't getting the oxygen that they need. And it's inefficient. So why would we do it? Why would we breathe like that? And the simple answer is because it's easier. It feels more comfortable. And I get that. I absolutely get that. I used to run like that. I trained myself to run just nose breathing with the exercises that I learned from free diving, which is what I can talk about in a moment, because it gets your body more tolerant to carbon dioxide. And I was able to run sort of up to threshold level of about 160, 165 beats per minute heart rate, still nose breathing. And I was able to run faster for longer once I'd adapted to that.
Yeah, I was just about to say, at what point does the speed take over where you do get into the mouth breathing? So it's interesting that you said that up to threshold, because I think some people listening to this might think, well, you know, you don't run at the speeds that I run at, you know, but everyone's speed is irrelevant. It's about the effort and it's about the threshold. And it's getting confidence, I guess. That's why we go training, don't we? To train ourselves and get into the habit. And then it becomes subconscious, a bit like driving. I mean, do you remember when we used to, when I was a beginner, I had to look at the gear stick to move it first to second, third. When we drive now, we're looking straight ahead, aren't we? We just change gears without thinking.
So it's absolutely subconscious.
Would it be the same with nose breathing? If you keep practicing, it becomes subconscious.
So it's about adaptation. And so the key thing that I'll say here is, obviously I've talked about how breathing less, so not hyperventilating, breathing less is actually going to give you more in your running. It's going to give you more efficiency, more oxygen, and but to get there takes a little bit of adaptation. So it can take a couple of months of nose breathing for you to be able to run at all of the different intensities that you want to. And it does happen. So there have been studies done by, there's a guy called George Dalam, who was an ex-US champion triathlete. He's now turned scientist. And he did a study with 10 of his coaches who had all adapted to nose breathing, and they were able to do all of the intensities, right from aerobic work up to anaerobic. So it's about the adaptation. It's about being patient and giving yourself time to adapt to nose breathing. It may mean that you have to slow down a little bit in the first instance, but eventually with that adaptation, it will become easier and automatic.
Wow, that sounds almost verbatim when I've seen things about slow heart rate training and a slow pace, Maffetone. They say exactly the same. It takes a certain number of months for you to adapt because you feel like you're going oh so slow and oh so, because you're used to going at a certain speed. But once you get used to it, the body then gets quicker whilst you're more relaxed, which is what we want to do. So music to my ears, Rebecca. Keep going. You're doing really well here.
So the one thing I'd sort of add is that you can make that adaptation period quicker by doing little exercises every day to build your tolerance to carbon dioxide, because what they're going to do is they're going to push that point where you start to feel breathless further and further away. And this is where that kind of backstory of freediving comes in, because most of the training that I did in freediving is carbon dioxide tolerance training. And it's basically reducing your breathing volume to the point where you feel air hunger. So air hunger is what we all feel, and it's what's causing that switch point from nose right. to mouth breathing. If you can train yourself in short, maybe 5-10 minute exercises to just sit and be with that feeling of air hunger, over time, your body is going to get more and more used to the feeling, and it's going to happen much later on through your run.
Right.
So rather than just waiting to nose breathe each time you go out for your run, you could be doing little exercises every day to build your tolerance, so that when you do go out on your run, that nose breathing is going to feel easier. And so it's shortening that period of adaptation. And that's something that I share through my work on my website. And I've got a little mini course that people can come on and have a go at a couple of these exercises that I know from freediving. But also I've worked with a guy called Patrick McEwen, who wrote a book called The Oxygen Advantage. Mm-hmm. And he has created a number of exercises that have the same aim of building tolerance to carbon dioxide. And we've put these together, and they're primarily targeted athletes, and the aims and the goals that we try to achieve as athletes.
Okay. I mean, in the descriptions and whatever, I'll have a bio on this as well and the website link. But if you can quickly mention what the website address is.
So my website.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my website is called sportrestoreyoga.co.uk.
Excellent. So it's sportrestoreyoga.co.uk. It's all one word. Yeah. No dashes, hyphens. Right. Okay. So this is because people always say, I mean, I think whether it be if people are listening to this as an audio, obviously we can't show in terms of the video or try and describe, but the best option is for them to go to that website and see the instructions that they can do and steps of how to practice that. And practice makes perfect, as they say. So in terms of those things, obviously with the breathing as well, we were touching on them, because for me, recovery is more important than the actual training session, because if we don't recover correctly, then that training session was almost pointless, if that's the right word. Not celebrity pointless, but pointless. Do you want to touch on in terms of how the deep breathing through the nose, as you mentioned diaphragm as well, which was music to my ears, because a friend of mine ran his first marathon, and he'd watched my videos in terms of how you breathe and the stepping, and I was talking more about mouth breathing and steps on that, but he then had a eureka moment about the diaphragm and breathing through the diaphragm, and he ran a 3:51 in his first marathon in his mid-50s, a non-runner, and I think he just worked on his technique, which was breathing and stepping, he was following my instructions. You just breathe and step. Yeah. Breathe and step.
Yeah.
And that got him to, so I know a lot of people watching, listening, dream of running sub-4 marathons. And I think he was living proof by breathing with the diaphragm. So how does the recovery and so on work on that side?
Yeah, so what I'd actually say with the nose breathing is it actually encourages you to breathe with the diaphragm naturally. So you almost don't have to think about it. So one of the things about, if you tell somebody to breathe with their diaphragm, it's actually they focus on it so hard that it's not relaxing way to breathe. So if you're nose breathing, by de facto, you're using your diaphragm.
Yeah.
If you're mouth breathing, you're normally breathing quite shallow. Yeah. So that's one thing. And in terms of recovery, when you breathe with your diaphragm and it's a deep breath, but I don't mean a big volume breath. What I mean is a deep breath, so that when you breathe in, you're feeling the belly expanding and the lower ribs expanding. That's what I mean by deep breath, because there's a bit of a misunderstanding there. When you
right down to...
Yes. So you want to feel that expansion of the belly when you breathe in, and then it just passively contracts when you breathe out. Yeah. If you're breathing like that, it kicks in the parasympathetic nervous system, which is otherwise called rest and digest.
Okay.
So it's the system that's opposite from fight and flight, which is where we're sort of teed up and, so it's called rest and digest. So by doing that deep diaphragmatic breathing, you are slowing down your heart rate, you're relaxing the body, bringing it into the state where it needs to be recovering from exercise. Now, if you've been nose breathing in your run anyway, you're probably going to come out of that feeling a little bit less beaten up.
Yeah.
So that's already going to help. But obviously, if you can then do some, you know, lie yourself down or sit down in a nice big comfy chair, breathe so that you feel the belly expand and gently contract, that is going to help kickstart that restful state that you need for recovery.
Right, it's amazing. As you were describing that, I'm sitting here and I'm
thinking
doing
about
it.
Breathing.
Breathing through my diaphragm, and it feels really good. So basically, you're getting into a pattern, and you're recovering as you're running, which is all part of the development process. You know, we provide stimulus to our body, and then we recover well enough. It sounds absolutely brilliant. But in terms of the myths that we touched on. There's a lot of myth busting. My question to you, Rebecca, is how do these myths come about? Do we know? I mean, I did do a video about contrary to popular belief from a particular magazine, and I sort of felt that years gone by, it was these magazines that were creating the belief in the first place. Where do you think these myths come from? How does it happen? Is it social media? Is it people trying to make a name for themselves and they just come up with all these wacky systems? How do these myths come about?
I'm not sure, but the breathing myth is one that is much older than social media, I think, because I remember as a kid being told to breathe deep and me thinking that meant I need to go
all right, yeah
you know,
yeah.
And that's a big breath, that's hyperventilating. Rather. Yeah. And so, you know, and there are a lot, and I have to say there are a lot of yoga teachers out there who are encouraging their students to breathe deeply without explaining necessarily what that means.
Right.
And if you're, there's one thing to sort of breathe deeply to get yourself into a restful state for your recovery, but you don't need to breathe deeply like that all of the time. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is breathe in a way that is adequate for what you're doing at that point. So if you're resting, your breath should be really quiet and subtle because you don't need it to be doing anything else. When you're running, of course, your breathing is going to increase to, you know, drive that cycle of respiration so we can get that run in. But, you know, it's about finding the level of breathing that fits the occasion that you're in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what has happened over time, I think, is this because life is so fast and we are all suffering from some level of chronic stress and anxiety to a certain level, that it has shifted our breathing to a much faster and shallower state. And the other thing I think is the subconscious, the being self-conscious about the belly.
Yeah.
So most of us don't want our belly to be hanging out. So we draw it in, we use the abdominal muscles to draw it in. And can you imagine if you're sucking your belly in all of the time?
Yeah.
It's pushing the breath up. So habitually, a lot of people have become shallow, fast mouth breathers for those reasons, for stress, for this kind of self-conscious body image. And it's a real shame because the natural breath is free, it's quiet, it's subtle, it's deep.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a real shame. And one of the things that I really wanted to sort of pinpoint this advice to at this time of year in particular is those of you who suffer from wheezing, coughing, either during or after your exercise. You may have been diagnosed with exercise-induced asthma. It's not really asthma, it's actually your lungs are responding to the cold air being sucked straight in through the mouth, hitting the lungs without any filtering. And when you exhale, you're losing water all of the time.
Yeah.
So your airways are drying out, they're getting cold, and they inflame, they swell up. A lot of mucus is produced, and that's why you're coughing. And you know, doctors will tend to give you asthmatic medication for that, but actually, if you can train yourself to nose breathe, those symptoms will tend to reduce and possibly even go away. And the, you know, there's studies on elite athletes who have been able to completely get rid of their exercise-induced asthma symptoms by breathing in that way.
I can totally concur with that. I mean, I've had friends where we finished races and they suddenly get the exhaler out and I'm thinking, what's that? He says, oh, I'm asthmatic. And but he'd trained himself to breathe properly during the run and didn't need during the race. So I've seen it firsthand. So it does work. It's absolutely brilliant, Rebecca. I've got to say that we've got to have you back on. And those who are listening, Rebecca has kindly offered to, because you're going to have lots of questions. Normally we do this live and people can ask live questions. But in the comments below, for those of you watching this on the YouTubes, can leave some questions, comments in there, and both Rebecca and myself will go in and answer as best we can. It's been absolutely brilliant having you on because it's provided another link to, I talked about heart rate training only the other week and then with the breathing, and it brings the two together in synchronous harmony, as they say. So I think we'll probably have to have you on the show again and talk in more detail about the yoga, because just listening to you and how you were talking, I feel like I'm almost in a meditative state. Here. So it's been very relaxing. So I can tell that you're a professional yoga teacher. So it's great having you on.
I have been told that my voice sends people to sleep. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not.
I think they've been very naughty. What it is relaxing.
Just one more thing, if that's okay. So obviously, yes, I'm more than happy to answer any questions online and maybe even come back and answer questions live. I'm also going to be at the National Running Show, for those of you who are in the UK, in January. So do come and say hello and have a chat as well if you want to go into this further. It's the 25th to the 26th of January.
And where will they find you at the running show? Do you have a stand?
Or B72, which is in the ultra zone, I believe. So it's over by the media and the VIP meet and greet.
Okay. So B72 at the running show. And for those who don't know, that's at the NEC in Birmingham, United Kingdom. So, get your flight tickets and get over there now. But anyway, I have enjoyed going to that show for the past 2 years. So, yes, very much looking forward to, and maybe one day meeting you face to face, Rebecca.
Yes, so if you're going, do come.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time and coming on. And I'm sure everybody watching will give us a thumbs up, leave some positive comments below. And thank you so much for your time, Rebecca. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so
much.
See you
again soon.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.